Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Well, I'm leaving you, baby.
Lord, this is Stevie Ray bringing us back to the late SRV. 17th of the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my website, so smallbusinessadvocate.com. And the one for my new book, The Third Ingredient, with the number three, thethirdingredient.com. Marlo Lewis Jr. is our guest. He's senior fellow with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He's been a member of our Brain Trust now for 13 years. He's published articles in all the major publications around the world, very important ones. Marlo, thanks again for being here. Thanks for being a great member of our Brain Trust all these years. I think I mentioned he's with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org, an organization I've been telling you about for a long time. Marlo, the carbon tax is something that's been battered around for a long time, and the only time I got really worried about it was when I heard the oil companies subscribing to it. That frightened me. What do you think?
Yeah, that is scary. They do have quite a lobby, and they're behind it. They're among the industry support base for the carbon tax. I mean, obviously, you'd expect that the wind and solar industries would be in favor of a carbon tax because it would help eliminate their competitors.
Right.
The oil companies are playing, I think, a very dangerous game, thinking that, okay, well, a carbon tax will eliminate coal, creating even more demand for natural gas. And,
right.
Of course, most oil producers are also gas producers. And I just think that's very short-sighted because once they come after coal, they're going to come after you.
Right.
And a carbon tax can be increased to any
That's exactly right.
level, and at a certain point, it makes not only coal unprofitable, but also gas and oil.
It's a tool for the climate change zealots. It's a tool for the climate change zealots. The way a value added tax, a national sales tax, would be added onto our income tax would be a tool for people who want to raise the politicians who want to raise taxes. Same thing.
Exactly, and. You know what John Marshall, our first Supreme Court justice, said, that the power to tax involves the power to destroy. Now, there's a limit with income because people, obviously, the people who love high income taxes want to keep raising them so they can keep getting more of our taxes, but they don't actually want to eliminate income earners.
Right.
Because then there would be no taxes to collect. But as you say, these zealots really do want to eliminate coal, gas, and oil. And if you give them this tool of plunder, if you give them the power to destroy this fossil fuel industry,
right.
Then you know that every year they will attempt to push the tax high enough to bankrupt more and more of our energy producers.
How would it work?
80% of all our energy.
How would it work? How would a carbon tax be applied?
Well, it would probably be applied in the simplest way possible. So the tax would the incidence of the tax would initially fall on the mine mouth, in other words, on the people who mine coal, and on the wellhead, the people who produce gas and oil, or on imported gas
right.
and oil. And then the costs would be passed along to the people who refine gas and oil, the people who process coal.
So
it
would be like a value-added tax. It'd be added at in the production stage, and so by the time it gets to us, it's not actually taxed directly to us or from us. It's just part of the cost, like a tariff.
Yes, although certain commodities that we buy, like electricity, the cost would. Or natural gas to heat our homes, or fuel oil, some of those costs would come quite directly, but others, as you say, would be transmitted throughout the entire economy because the whole economy runs
right.
on energy. There isn't anything that we make, move,
right.
Communicate that doesn't require energy, and 80% of our energy comes from these carbon-based fuels.
And unlike when gasoline goes up, since we use less gasoline per dollar GDP than we used to, it's not as inflationary. This particular a carbon tax would be inflationary, wouldn't it?
Oh, sure, sure. And some of the so-called modest carbon taxes add about 50 cents a gallon to the cost of gasoline pretty quickly. And so that's, you know, that's hundreds of dollars a year out of the budgets of middle-income families.
In a recent article, you identified one average family, one blue-collar kind of family, and you said it could cost them as much as $1,000 a year.
Yeah, I was basing that figure on a study, believe it or not, from Columbia University that was used to promote a carbon tax. There was a Republican member of Congress who lost in the last election, Carlos Curbelo down in Florida, and he had a carbon tax bill, and he got some academics at Columbia University to write a report about the bill. And there it was, you know, it's about it would increase energy costs by about $248 to $278. It fluctuates over the 10-year period per person. So if you have a household of four, you're looking at $1,000 a year more in energy costs.
And for a lot of folks out there in Flyover America, believe it or not, folks, $80 a month is a big hit. There are a lot of people out there.
It is, and something else that's quite insidious about the carbon tax is that all these carbon tax proposals would increase the tax on autopilot every year.
Right,
for 10
exactly.
Years,
and they could raise 20. It. Hold on to that thought. Marlo Lewis and I will be right
sure.
back. Stay with us.
Okay.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.